Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
I'm telling you, it's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time that we're going through. I mean, you know, just to be alive, it's a testimony. But when we actually talk about the seasons that we are in, we're coming off of an amazing season right now. I'm going to show you the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish calendar, because the word takes us through these different times that we acknowledge. We acknowledged Passover. We acknowledged, which is Pesach. We acknowledged the resurrection. And so this is on a kind of cyclical calendar. Can someone please put that up on the calendar for me? It should be on the board. And when you look at that, these are the times. Thank you. These are the times and the seasons. So they're called feasts. They're not called feasts as you suppose to eat, though sometimes we do get together and do that. But feast has a deeper meaning than that. And so as you see here, we were talking about Pesach or the Passover, first fruits, resurrection. And now we're 50 days after Pesach or Passover, we're going to be celebrating the Holy Spirit falling on this earth. These are the times. Say, these are the appointed times. Now, if you go to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and every time we get into this season, I really love it. I mean, I love everything that we do in the kingdom. But these are specific observances that we partake in for a good reason. I want to take you to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and the first verse, if you will. If you're a Hebrew scholar, Leviticus is what? Yes, and so we say, and Yahweh, God, spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, or of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. And so when we celebrate Passover, Pesach, or when we celebrate Resurrection Day, as the world has tried to attach the moniker of Easter to, which has nothing to do with the resurrection of Yeshua. You know, that was a pagan mashup of the goddess Esther and trying to bring in that spring solstice and all that other kind of stuff, talking about eggs and bunnies and all that other kind of foolishness that has nothing to do with the resurrection of our Savior. And so I'm glad for the truth. I'm glad for knowledge. Glad that we know that Yeshua is the reason for this season. Because he is resurrected, he's resurrected in us. And because of that, we have a relationship with Yahweh. We're reconciled back. We have authority. We have power. I don't know about you, but this is the best observance that we can celebrate when we talk about the resurrection of our Savior. Wait, hold up. You wouldn't even be able to sit here had it not been for the resurrection of your Savior. You better get it right. Listen, and let's get this thing straight. You ain't clapping for this bag of bones right here. You clapping for the Most High God, the one that made this whole thing available to you by the sacrifice of Yeshua. So that praise be unto him. And so when we're talking about this, we want to really be careful to know exactly what we are celebrating. Because I think that a lot of times if you celebrate the bunnies, then you give power to the bunnies. If you celebrate the eggs, you give power to the eggs. If you celebrate the chocolate, you give power to the chocolate. The chocolate ain't done nothing for you. Did the chocolate save you from your sins? Did the chocolate die on the cross for you? No. Who did?
Yeshua.
Shout him out. Who did it?
Yeshua
did it. And so we got to understand why we're doing this thing. So the word feasts is actually the Hebrew word mo'adim. And mo'adim literally means the appointed times. For you people that have a problem with showing up places on time, it's a divine appointment. If you knew you were meeting Yeshua, would you be late? And you can't run them talking about who else, you know L.A. traffic. Well, you know L.A. traffic. And since you know L.A. traffic, you should have what? Left earlier. But this is the thing we get caught up in. We don't really give credit where credit is due. We don't take things seriously that we should take things seriously. And when we're talking about Yahweh saying, acknowledge this time, show up for this time. Remember this time, right? And there's a reason why he wants us to remember this time, because it reminds us of who he is. I don't know about you. I need to continually be reminded of who he is. I mean, a God that is so awesome cares about me. He knows about me. And the word says he even knows the amount of hairs that is on our head. And you look at my head and you say there ain't no hairs on it. He knew how many I lost. He knew how many I had. But he knows the details about you. But a lot of times you need to be reminded that you serve a God that does that.
Hallelujah.
I mean, he'll just show up and do something. I was like, wow, Yahweh, I didn't even get a chance to ask for this. And you what? Did anybody experience that? You didn't even get a chance to ask. The relationship is so good that you didn't even ask and it showed up. You need to thank him for that. When it happens, and when we think about it, when we're reminded, I don't know about you, I remember things that he's done years ago. I don't want to forget those things. And I love when we have these mo'adims, these appointed times, these divine appointments, because it reminds me of who he is. But the other dynamic is that it should remind you of who you are. Because if you know who he is, then you know who you are, right? A lot of us think we know who we are, but we're remembering that old self, that old woman, that old man. But we've been brought into a brand new kingdom. We've been brought into a brand new situation. And so therefore, we need to be reminded of who we are in him. Say, who I am in him. And so go here to Yohanan, the 15th chapter, or John. We love to use the true names here at 3CLA. Because it's not about religion, it is not about tradition, it is not about rituals and doing the same things over and over again just because. It is about truth and knowledge. It is about a relationship with the Savior. So we get depth and we get truth and we get focus when we acknowledge the names, the true names and the true words. And so that is why we use the name Yeshua and not Jesus, because Jesus didn't come around until 16. The name Jesus didn't come around until 1611. But what were they calling the Savior over 2,000 years ago when he came on the scene. They call him Yeshua. And his name meant and still means that he will save, he will deliver, and he will rescue. So knowing the meaning of that name talks about purpose, talks about timing, talks about power, talks about victory, talks about everything about me. Because if Yeshua had not saved and had not delivered and had not rescued, we could not even be in this place today. You wouldn't have a chance. So I'm thanking him for his name. His name meant what he came to do. And so a lot of times, Yahweh would change the name of the person or the individual after something dynamic had happened in their life. Why did he do that? Because he knew that names, what? Meant something, right? And so if you had a crooked name from the onset and he changed you, then that crooked name didn't stand. He had to change you to his family name. He was like, no, I gotta make an adjustment in that name. And so we need to understand the power and name and purpose and knowledge. And so when we go here to John, the 15th chapter and the first verse, it talks about who we are. He's re-emphasizing who he is and what our stance is in him. Have you ever wondered, and don't raise your hand, but have you ever wondered, what, who am I? Why am I here? Like, what is this all for? Right? Well, before you were even shaped in the womb, he had a purpose for you. Had a life for you, had a destiny for you. I was telling somebody the other day, well, what if I never reached that purpose? Well, this is the whole reason why we're trying to get knowledge and we're trying to be in the spirit, because that reveals our purpose. And if we have a relationship with the Father, then he'll tell us and speak to us what our purpose is. If we don't have a relationship with him, what are we doing? Just what? Kind of out here wandering around trying to figure things out. But anybody filled with the Holy Spirit? Who knows the Holy Spirit as a teacher? Who knows the Holy Spirit as a guide? Who knows the Holy Spirit as one who illuminates? Who knows the Holy Spirit as one who actually will tell you the details and say, hey, and brings that wisdom? Right. So therefore, if he does those things, he'll show you your purpose. He'll show you your destiny. He is a God of purpose. He is a God of destiny, and he has something for you to do down here. He has a work for you, but you have to understand who you are in him. And so what he was telling us, he says, I am the true vine. He had to tell us that he's the true vine because there are other vines out there. We have lived our lives attaching ourselves to other things, other idols, other gods, other situations, other people, right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We have lived our lives living out other folks' things. And them taking us down the wrong way, instead of us living out what Yahweh has what? For us. And so he says, I am the what? True vine. And my Father is the what? Husband, man, he's created this whole thing. And the second says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So look at you. You're branches on his tree. And if you're not producing, and say I should be producing. See, a lot of people are saved, and don't get me wrong. A reason why we are saved, a reason, is that we want to be with him. We want to go to glory. We want that heavenly insurance policy. that when I transition, I'm going to go to the right place. I was watching an episode of The Twilight Zone. Any Twilight Zone people out here? Okay. I'm just asking. Like, Pastor, you watch Twilight Zone? Of course. Listen, come on, y'all. I mean, I don't live in a box or a vacuum, as they say. I find a lot of things to kind of relate to in reading and watching things. And so anyway, so this particular episode for you Twilight Zonies would be the episode where the dude, he's like in an alley, and he's robbing, or he just robbed a bank or something like that. And he's in the alley and the police find him and they shoot him, right? And then he lays out, and then this dude with a white suit comes up and says, hey, you know, and he gives him everything that he thought he wanted, right? And so he takes him to the casino. Does anybody remember that one? Okay. He takes the dude to the casino and he keeps on winning. He hooks him up with girls and, you know, everybody likes him and all. And he was like, wait a minute, this is, I'm not losing. This is like over and over again. He takes him to a really nice place that's his and whatever. And so dude says, hey, you know, I don't understand. You know, I need more stuff. I don't belong here. You know, I shouldn't be here. I should be at the other place. He was like, you know, I shouldn't be in heaven. I should be at the other place. And the dude was like, what makes you think that you're in heaven? This is the other place. Then the music plays, dum, dum, dum. Right? And so, but I'm saying that to say, we kind of like get comfortable in the fact that, okay, we're going to heaven, so la-di-dee, la-di-da, and that's all there is to it. No, no, no. You're saved for a reason. He has something for you to do before you do that. Otherwise, if that was the case, after you got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, he would have just let you pass out and go to glory. But he left you here for a reason. To be a shining example of what he can do in transforming somebody and bringing them in to his kingdom. You were messed up, right? Alcoholic, prostitution, drug addict, sexaholic. Shout out some.
Crazy.
Yeah. Greedy. All these other crazy things, that ways that we live our life and all kinds of stuff that we attach ourselves to. Maybe a murderer, right? Adulterer. Right? We schizophrenic, done all of that stuff. So he took you out of the prostitution tree. He took you out of the schizophrenic tree. He took you out of the murderous tree. He took you out of the thievery and stealing tree. Broke you off of that branch, took your branch over to his tree, cut in a place for you to be placed in and grafted into his tree of life. That's what he did. But he doesn't expect you to get on that tree and just suck up all the nourishment. He wants you to suck up the nourishment and produce something. He wants to see some buds and some fruit and some flowers or something that you're producing, right? And he says, if you're a branch in me, he didn't say a regular random branch on some other tree. He said, if you're a branch in me or in my tree, I have some expectations for my branches. I expect my branches. He said, if there's a branch in me that beareth not fruit, he says, I'm taking that away. And he said, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. That it might bring forth more fruit. Knowing that you're on his tree, Sometimes he's got to get rid of the mess on your tree, on your branch, to make room for the fruit. We call it purging. We got to get rid of the weeds. You know how weeds have a tendency to... So sometimes there's people on your branch. Sometimes there's some situations on your branch. Sometimes there are some ways of thinking that you did on the old tree that don't work on this. Somebody say this is a new situation. See, over here on this tree, maybe grandmama told you some stuff. Grandma told you, don't trust that that dude. Maybe she said that dude ain't worth nothing. So don't trust any dude. But that don't work over here. On this tree, there's trust here. On this tree, there's faith here. On this tree, there's forgiveness here. Come on, somebody in here. So if you were going to do all that crazy thinking and stuff, then what are you doing on this tree? He should have just left you in the random tree that you was in. But thank God, he brought you over to this tree. But he brought you over to this tree with an expectation. That's comfortable. He brought you over to the tree with the expectation. The expectation was that you were going to what? Bear fruit. You're going to look like this tree. You were going to respond like this tree. You were going to think like this tree. Ooh. So if you don't be mad after all the chances that he's given you that he got to like. And every chance. Come on, Holy Spirit. Every time he's purging you of something, he's giving you an opportunity to get it right. Because he could have just snatched you up. But he says, let me come on over here and just take this little thing out. And you're like, no! And I'm just like, okay. Sometimes he's got to take the people out of your situation. Sometimes he's got to put you, you know, work with your way of thinking. And until you yield, you're going to go through some stuff until you start being obedient. Maybe we grew up on a tree that we didn't know how to take care of money. And everything we got, we spent it up, burnt it up, smoked it up. Come on. And he's saying, wait, there's prosperity. An increase, an overflow on this tree. You can't bring that crazy way of managing and doing stuff over this one. So even though you kind of acting up in this tree, he don't snatch you out by your root. We call that love and grace and mercy. And the purging that go forth is not a purging that hurts you, though it hurts. It's not a purging to slow you down, although it slows us down. But it's a purging that would create an opportunity for us to flourish and grow and prosper and excel and elevate. And so we got to let that happen. You got to let the purging happen. Why? The scripture tells us that it may what? Bring forth what? More for you. So your neighbor, it makes us better.
Makes us better.
And we're all on the same tree. That's why sometimes, thank you, Holy Ghost. Sometimes we, you know, we rub up against each other sometimes. We kind of get in each other's way sometimes. We all trying to grow. We all trying to come together, but it's a beautiful tree. In unity, he commands the blessings. And even life, what? Forevermore. So don't say, hey, this person make me mad. Listen, this is a hospital. Everybody's trying to get on this tree so Yahweh can nurse us and get us where we need to be. And we, so let's love each other in this process. Let's embrace each other in this process. Let's understand each other in this process. Let's kind of forgive each other. Because tell your neighbor, we on the same tree. Used to be a statement, we in the same gang. I mean, you know, we are. We're in the same band. We want the same things. Tell your neighbor, we kingdom. We both kingdom. We kingdom. That's who we are. We're kingdom. So when you step on my toe, we both kingdom. I love you. I know you didn't step on my toe to step on my toe. You just, you know, got happy. You know, we got to understand this, and we're all coming up together. Third verse says, now you're clean through the word. Ha! Huh? Now you're clean through the word, which I have spoken unto you. Fourth verse, I'm just asking you to do something for me. He says, just abide in me. Abide means live, to take up residence, right? Just. Take up residence in me. Right? He provides us with so much. Why do we need to run to other residences? Other trees. Tell your neighbor, there's a lot of trees out there. I can tell you about some trees. I want to know about some trees. I can tell you about some trees. There's a lot of stuff that we could attach ourselves to, but we're in the tree of life. So he said, just abide in me. Let that be enough for you. And if you abide in me, he says, I'm going to abide what? In you. And it says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of except it abides what? In me. You're not going to find the right kind of prosperity outside of the vine. The right kind of prosperity is found what? In the vine. And it says, no more can ye except you what? Abide in me. Fifth verse. I am the vine. You are the branches. He's saying who we are. And he's saying who he is. He's saying who we are. And he's saying who he is. Say it again. He's saying who we are. And he's saying who he is. So he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. Why are you saying this again? Because he wants to emphasize to you who you are. My question is, do you know who you are? My question is, do you know who he is? You can't answer the first question until you know the second question. Do you know who he is? And if you know who he is, then you should know who you are. Sixth verse says, if a man abide not in me, he casts forth as a branch and he's withered. Guess what? And men gather them and what? Cast them into the fire and they are burned. Are you getting the picture of what happens? There's no in between. Either you're on the tree or you're off the tree. Let me tell these people over here. Either you own a tree or you off the tree. There is no in between. And see, we like in between stuff. We like gray areas. You know, we like to be able, because in a gray area, you can make up your own rules. And you can make up your own situation and your own spirituality. See, in a gray area, you can make your own religion or belief system. They don't have nothing to do with his. So you can't be, how shall I say this? You can't be right here and say you own the tree. See, some people think that just because they're beside the tree, that they own the tree. And if I get close enough, I look like I'm on it. And see, we got a lot of believers like this. They stand by the tree. Yeah. I'm one of them. Yeah. But can't you see? Can't you see I'm green and I'm near it? But if you trace it down to the root, you found this counterfeit. It's fake. It's phony. And there's some other situations that you can trace to the root, but I'm going to leave you sisters alone. They're catching it, right, brothers? They're a little slow, but they got it. Because I'm talking about tracing it to the root. It looked like it's on there. Okay. All right. But we're not talking about hair, hallelujah. We're talking about trees. But I'm just saying, the tree gotta be right. You gotta be on this thing. You gotta be attached to this thing. And not only that, you gotta be producing on this thing. And he has an expectation, and if you're not, he's going to give you some purging opportunities, but if you still won't produce after the purging and everything, and some of us have been purged and purged and purged and purged and purged, 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 meaning that we've getting chances after chance after chance after chance after opportunity after opportunity to get it right, to get it right, to get it right. We still have not done that. So therefore, after a certain time, the word says he gives them up to a reprobate mind because they've decided that they don't want to do the right thing. Right? So they're cast into the fire and the burn. I don't want to see that end for you. The seventh verse says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, there's going to be a dynamic available for you. You just be able to ask for what you want. And it's going to be what? Done. See, you guys ain't got nothing to worry about if you just abide in the vine, if you just abide in him. If you abide in him, he'll give you what you need and want. And this is what we're trying to develop. This is what we're trying to maintain. So as we talk about identity, as we start to bring that out, we need to know that we are on his tree. Now go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Are we clear on this? Are we clear that you can't stand by the tree, but you have to be in the tree? You have to be attached to the tree? We got to be clear on these things. And so Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, the 8th verse. I want to show you something. I love that people understand. Okay, so you see where I have Romans here? And I say to the church in Rome, because that this book was written to the believers that were in Rome. Why are you pointing this out, Pastor Tom? Because the things that are said in here talk about the church, but you get better understanding when you understand what the culture in Rome was, so that when they say something in the scripture, you can refer to the way that people were living in Rome at the time, and it'll give you even more illumination on what the scripture means and what it was inferring by the people that it was addressing and the region that the people were being addressed. And the reason I have to point that out is because there's some special things. Now, this church in Rome was a mixture of Jewish, Yehudim people, but also Gentiles. So they were there together figuring out this new thing in the Holy Ghost. This is, you know, Acts had occurred. People got the Holy Ghost, so now the gospel was going forth to all these different regions, And so now you have this mix of people in this church in Rome. But the church in Rome had certain things that Roman people did that was germane to what the scripture is saying and trying to point out to you what the deeper meaning is. And so Paul, as we use his Hebrew name Shaul, wrote a letter to this church because he was excited that these people had caught a hold of the gospel, they had caught the Holy Ghost, and they were really trying to serve him in this new way. And so the eighth verse says, so then they that are in the flesh, because there were certain things that the Roman people had did, certain pagan observances and all this stuff, certain ways they were making up their stuff as they went along in certain cases. And so now they're exposed to this. And he is saying, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please who? Yahweh. He told him, here, you're not in the flesh anymore. You're not in that old tree, but you're in the spirit realm with me. You're in the spiritual tree. You're in this new tree of life dispensation. He had to remind them not of who they were, but who they used to be. Sometimes we got to remind who you used to be, because then you come up in here trying to act like you used to be up in here. And we're like, no, dude, I know that that worked for you in the street, but this is a new dispensation. See, that worked over there off of Main and 54th, but if they cross. But that don't work here in this new tree of life, right? And so he's like, you're not in the flesh. So stop. Don't bring the flesh mind stuff here. Don't bring that flesh thinking here. But you're in the spirit. If so, be that the spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit is something that identifies you as legit on this tree. You belong on this tree. If you have the Holy Spirit has a seal on you, huh? And so then when Yahweh sees you, he sees that you're his. So if the spirit of Yahweh dwells in you, that is a what? An indicator that you're his. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Mashiach or Yeshua, Mashiach is the Hebrew word for Christ, Yeshua. He is none of him. I love the word Mashiach because Mashiach, the word Mashiach means the anointed. So if you have not that spirit in you, you're not his. Come on. So it kind of flies in the face of people say, I can do whatever I want to do and I'm still saved. I don't need the Holy Ghost, huh? I'm good. No, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you're pure carnal. You're pure flesh. You won't even understand the things of the Spirit. You can't even muster up faith because you don't have the Holy Spirit. But this is a cold-blooded scripture. He's saying, but if you don't, listen, straight up. If you got the spirit, you mine. If you don't got the spirit, you ain't mine. If you got the spirit, you legit. If you don't got the spirit, you're illegit. That don't sound like love. It's love. Everybody want to talk about God's love. God wouldn't do that. God, he loving God. What about your love? Come on now. You act like your love has nothing to do with this equation. Do you really love him? Because if you really love him, you would choose him. Right? I mean, if you really love God, do you love God or do you love God? See, we want to talk about his love for us. Oh, if he loved me, he wouldn't do that. And if he loved me, he wouldn't make me do that. Well, if you loved him, you wouldn't do that. And if you loved him, you wouldn't make him do that. He don't want you to be cursed, but he'll let you be cursed if you choose it. And there's a difference between loving God, L-O-V-E, and love in God, L-U-H. See, the way I look at it is this. If you say you love, you won't even form the whole word. So you want to know the type of person to say they love God? They this one right here. But the folks that's really attached, they love agape. They love him. And it's a deep-rooted love. And so this is where we understand the difference. 10th verse. And if Mashiach be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Right? There's life in being righteous. There's death in sin. 11, and this takes us back to what happened last week. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, what? Wait. The same spirit that had the power to resurrect Yeshua from the dead is in me? Hold up. Do you guys understand the kind of power that is dwelling inside of you right now? He that raised up Mashiach from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. I don't know about you. I need my mortal body quickened. I need something greater than myself. I need something moving on the inside, something changing and transforming my way of thinking and doing stuff, because the way I was thinking and doing stuff was messed up. It was ratchet. And I need something new moving on the inside. I need something powerful that will overcome this mess that I was born into and totally changes my dynamic. And if we let it happen, it dwells in us. But this is what I wanted to get to. 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we're going to die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify means make them dead. Kill them. Mortify, kill those instincts. Listen, you know, I rely on my instincts. No, you rely upon your instinct. Because your instincts stank. It's sin, it's flesh. But we don't want to go by our instincts. We want to go by the power of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that raised Yeshua from the dead. And if we do that, we shall live. 14, and I'm going to let you go on these last two. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons and daughters of Yahweh. See, there's a difference between the type of sons. If you're a true son, you are a weos. Weos means true son. The other kind is technon. Technon be acting like he a son, but he ain't. It's like, is he or is he? Mari? I mean, which one is it? You know what I'm talking about? You are the father. That dude? It's tested. Right? For as many that are led by the spirit of Yahweh, they are the true sons, the wheels. H-U-I-O-S. Any weos, and daughters, you're part of that too. Any weos, children. Yeah, weos, right? 15th verse. And I'm going to leave you with this here. For if you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. See, you were in bondage. You was on a tree that was headed for the fire dump. But he plucked you out of that tree and placed you into a living green tree just in time. So you were in bondage. You was about to be burnt up. But he's saying this tree, this tree is not of bondage. But it's of adoption. Uh-oh. What happens in this tree? The spirit of adoption is going on in this tree. See, the spirit of slavery and bondage was going on in that tree. And that tree. And that tree. And that tree. And that tree. But this tree right here, this is a tree of life. When you get on here, you receive the spirit of adoption. See, the Romans, what they did when you were adopted into a family, you completely cut the ties of the old family. You didn't have nothing to do with the old family. You were brought into the new family. And in Rome, if you were brought into the new family, you had all the rights, all the privileges, all the inheritance, just as if you were born from that family from the beginning. It didn't matter. He's saying that it don't matter how long he was on them trees. You could have been on them trees 50 years. But if I've grafted you into my tree, I've adopted you. So now, where there was the spirit of bondage, now is the spirit of freedom. Now is the spirit of adoption, where you can call me Father. Come on. You can call me Daddy. And whatever you need. And even today, that tree of life is still giving life. That tree of life is still transforming lives. Even if you come to him 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, he'll put you on that tree as if you were with him all 70 of those years. Come on, y'all. And the time that you spend on that tree, he'll do as much as he can to make up for all the time and all the stuff you lost and everything that you've been through and give you a whole new situation. Attached to the spiritual, where you can cry, Abba, Father, Yabba. You've adopted me. I have a right to the inheritance. Father Yabba, we thank you for the spirit of adoption. But when we come to you, Father, you make up for lost time. You make up for lost territory. You give us overflow. You give us the love that we've missed. You give us the caring and things we've not had. Because you love us. We thank you for the opportunity to be on your tree, to inherit the things that you say that are inheritable for us. To live in the freedom that you say exists for us. The opportunities that are in you, in your kingdom, Father. The thoughts and plans that you have for us right now, Father. Let us fully embrace who you are, first and foremost. You are Yahweh. Yod Hey, Vav Hey. Eye Eshir. You are the God that can do anything, provide anything, be anything. You've got the power to transform our lives. You have the power to fulfill us. You have the power to teach us. You have the power to change us. You have the power to transform us. You have the power to make years disappear and allow us to experience something brand new. Love that passes all understanding. Authority, power, purpose, destiny. In you, we find our identity. In you, we know who you are. In you, we know who we are. Because in your word, you tell us who we are. You tell us that we're children of the Most High God. You tell us that we're above and not beneath, we're the head and not the tail. You tell us that we're more than conquerors. You tell us that we can do all things through Yeshua that strengthens us. You tell us who we are. So we believe your word is true. So right now, Father, keep reminding us. Keep reiterating to us who we are. Father, we're grabbing hold of that. We're going to live out the life that you have planned for us, Father. And we give you glory for this. In Yeshua's mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Bow your head, please.